Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, we've been doing a series of messages on the day of the Lord. You know, we're looking forward to the day of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, the day of the Lord Jesus in one place it's written, or maybe two places it's written in the Scripture. And one thing that we have that enables us to remain watchful for the day of the Lord is His joy, because His joy gives us strength. And so I thought, what better way for us to engage in looking for the day of the Lord? Because a lot of times when we look at these things that are foretold, a lot of the signs aren't very bright and cheerful. Okay, and we get through some of these messages, it's like, wow, you know, that's pretty down. You know, we've got to find a way to strengthen ourselves, and the way to do that is with the joy of the Lord. And so I thought, this is a great way today. We have sunshine in our souls. We just sang that hymn. You know, we have sunshine in our souls by the light of Christ that's within us. And so I think of that as I'm preparing messages. Well, how can I really help people to realize what we have in Christ goes beyond what we see on the surface? You know, we're seeing the world. The whole world is crumbling, literally. You know, the earthquakes everywhere, as the Lord's foretold. And then you see all these other things that are happening, some of which were foretold and some that weren't. And we say, wow, you know, things are kind of bleak in some ways. And yet you look outside and the sun's shining, the leaves are turning colors, and you see all the beauty of nature, and you say, God is still in control. It's still a beautiful world. And if we can focus our attention where He wants us to focus it, most definitely in His Word, we can recognize that He's not going to abandon us. He does not forsake us. He will not leave us. And I pray that this message will help each and every one of us and everybody else who will hear it to remain spiritually awake and watchful, so that all of us can continue to look forward to the day of the Lord's coming, but do it with cheer, do it with joy, with a calm inner delight in knowing that He is in control. I want to read just a quick passage here, and then we're going to get into the message. In Romans chapter 13, it's written, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." As we're looking forward to the day of the Lord, we must remember that His Word teaches us how to do that. And He says, and this was written nearly 2,000 years ago, knowing the time, that it is high time to awake out of sleep. In other words, we need to have our eyes open, our spiritual eyes. We need to be focusing on the fact that He is going to return, and that is going to be a mixed situation. For those of us who have salvation, that's going to be a joyous occasion. But for others who are not, it's not going to be a joyous occasion. And we're going to see, as we've read from Peter and some of the other writers, that there's going to be a lot of things that happen. Some that are going to happen before He comes, and some that are going to happen when He comes. And none of those things are pretty. But we have strength to endure whatever it is that He allows us to endure, because He provides us with that strength through joy. And it doesn't matter if He comes today or tomorrow, this week or next. It doesn't matter if He comes this month or next month or this year or next year or 10 years from now. He is coming. The Word is true. And we're to remain watchful. Walking His way enables us to have strength through His joy. And this is a powerful way to motivate us to walk His way. It's a powerful tool that we have, maintaining joy in the Lord. And so as we go through this message and look at what it is that God Himself provides for us, I think each of us can be renewed in the strength that He gives to us. So today we're going to begin with a teaching from Christ our Lord, and it's found in the 15th chapter of John's Gospel record, which is on page 727 in the Pew Bible, page 727 in the Pew Bible. Good to see you all out today. John chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 1. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. And this is where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Now, I don't know about you folks, but God prunes me. And sometimes I wonder how much he's going to prune, because he puts me through some stuff, I'll tell you. But he knows I can bear fruit, so he trims off that stuff that isn't necessary. And I trust, because I'm in Christ, that he'll continue to do that. And each of us can trust that. If we're in Christ, he will trim us. He'll tune us up. He'll tweak us a little bit, so to speak, okay? "You're already clean," he says to his disciples, "because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." And he's saying, remain. You have to remain in Christ. You have to keep yourself in such a way that you're not cutting yourself off from that spiritual flow of sustenance that comes from Christ. He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now see, all of this is setting us up for the reason to abide in him. He gives us this repeatedly. He says, stay in me, remain in me, abide in me. Don't get out. Remember last week we looked at the fact that the scripture tells us there's going to be a falling away. And in fact, we've seen throughout time there have been fallings away. There have been people that have left Christ. In fact, even at his time. And he says, abide in me. This was a concern of Jesus himself. He said, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. And what does it mean to bear much fruit? To produce. You're going to produce something. You're going to bring something into existence that was not previously in existence. And part of the way that this scripture is interpreted is that there will be more believers that will come out of your testimony, your witness, your ability to be faithful to Christ. He says, so you will be my disciples. And as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. He's teaching us, as he's teaching his disciples, in order for us to be full of joy, we must obey his commandments, because otherwise we're going to bring things upon ourselves in the earthly realm that are not going to be joyful. And this is the reason. It's not a legalistic thing to obey Christ. It is a matter of love. Obedience is a revelation of love. It's a revelation of our place in Christ. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. He was telling them he was going to the cross. He was ready to go to the cross, and he's telling them, I'm going to die for you. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, what's the opposite of that? You are not my friends if you do not do whatever I command you. That's him. And no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And then he goes on to say, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. And on he goes about how the servant is not greater than the master. But the point that I'm bringing out of this particular passage is what he says. Why? Why did he tell them to remain in him? Why did he tell them to remain and obey his commandments? So that, he said, his joy may remain in him and their joy may be full. Do you want joy in your life? Then trust him, because he said trust him. As Connie read this morning, be not afraid. The Lord commanded Joshua as they were going in to take over the land, be not afraid. And you know, folks, I have a confession to make. Sometimes I become afraid. When things get overwhelming, we had some situations this past week that really, really challenged me. Time is the biggest challenge. And then the second challenge, of course, is like everybody else, finances. Will those ends meet at some point? Or are we just going to stretch them and hold on to them? Yeah, God made a way. Let's pray for a moment, shall we? Oh, Father, I ask that you would hear my prayer. Take me and use me today. Lord, I'm powerless to speak without you. I ask that you would give me unction to speak your words. Make your power over our souls known, Lord. Help us to be watchful. Deliver us from evil. We thank you, Lord, for all of the gifts that you give us, our daily bread. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. Help us to keep from taking them for granted, Lord. I ask that you would pour your Spirit upon all who hear these words, whether they be in this room today, or if they be listening online somewhere, Lord, or however it is that you get this word to them. Use my preaching in your might, not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, Lord, but have our faith stand in demonstration of your Spirit and your power, not in the wisdom of men. Let your will be done here today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, did you hear what Jesus said about being the vine and us being the branches? He's the source of our sustenance. He provides for us. And where do the branches get what they need to produce and bear fruit? The vine. The vine provides everything. And we can't fool ourselves into thinking that we can provide for ourselves. Isn't that the sin that comes from pride, that somehow I think I can take care of me, that I can do it all? Ah, yeah. And I've got to set that aside and say, you know what? I'm connected to the vine. The vine provides everything I need. And I simply need to receive what he provides. It's really easy when we get it, when we don't resist. Do you think for a minute that the branch resists? The branch say, no, I'm going to take care of it myself. I'm going to produce fruit. Doesn't work that way. You know? Whenever the branches do not produce fruit, the vine dresser comes along and snips them off. Casts them away. That's Jesus bringing that message. So we need to produce fruit. So how do we do that? We need to remain connected to the vine and allow that spiritual sustenance to come into us from him. And then sometimes he trims those branches. As I said earlier, he'll prune us. I had a message here one time I titled, Pruned If You Do and Pruned If You Don't. He trims us up. He makes us the way He wants us to be. And ultimately, that's in the image of Christ. We become Christ-like. He trims those little rough edges off. He trims those bits and pieces that are just not producing, or those things that are detrimental. Branches need to remain in the vine to keep producing. Jesus said, abide in Him and His love. And I have to ask, what does it mean to abide in Christ and His love? Well, remember what's written in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything you need will be supplied. Because Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about all these things. God knows you need those things, and He'll take care of them. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and He'll provide everything you need. And praise God for that. That's where it's a source of our joy in knowing that no matter how things look on the outside, no matter how dark things get in this world, we can trust that God's going to provide no matter where we are, no matter what's happening, no matter what we're up against. He will do that. He says so. I just take Him on His word. And I hope that you all will. That Greek word that's translated to the English word abide, it means to stay, to not depart, to continue to be present. Let that sink in. When the devil tempts you into doing something that would take you out of the presence of Christ, you need to resist that temptation, because you have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God within you. If in fact you are blood bought and paid for by Jesus Christ, if your soul has been taken over by the Holy Spirit, you do not have to sin. You can say no. You have the power. You've been freed. You've been released from that bondage. You know, in reference to time, that Greek word means not to perish. It means to last and to endure. In reference to people, it means to survive and to live. In reference to a state or condition, it means to remain as one. And didn't Jesus say that He wanted His disciples to remain as one? Let them be one as You and I are one, Father, He said. We can read about in John chapter 17. He wants us to remain in fellowship, in relationship with Him. He doesn't want us in that box of religion. He doesn't want us all fashioned up in a box where we can't let God in and God can't draw us out. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. Just like the branches are to the vine. The English word abide means to comply with. It means to obey. It means to observe. It means to follow. It means to keep to hold to conform to adhere to stick to. And this was Jesus saying, adhere to My commandments. Stick with My commandments. Conform to My commandments. Act in accordance with My commandments. Uphold My commandments. Heed My commandments. Accept My commandments. Go along with My commandments. Acknowledge My commandments. Respect My commandments. This was Jesus. He said, defer to My commandments. When all else fails, you compare whatever choices you have to the Word of God, and then you defer to the Word of God. Because the Word of God will be your guide. It's an unfailing guide that will keep you on the path of Christ. You see, Jesus was telling His disciples to hang on obediently. That's all He asks for. And no matter what happens to you, with you, around you, never let go. You don't let go. You just hold on to Christ. We were talking out in the narthex this morning, and Sue had mentioned, she said, God brought you here because you've got that street stuff. You're not going to run. I said, praise God, because I won't. I'll hang on. I will hang on, and I will do, and that's what I want to model for each of you. I want you to get that. I want you to know that you don't have to let go no matter what the world throws at you. And sometimes the world can be pretty nasty. In 1 John chapter 2, it's written, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world. And then he gives us those things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father. It's of the world. And if you love those things, then you're not loving the Father. And Jesus said, abide in me. And so when you're going off into the world, you're not abiding in Christ. And you hurt yourself. And that's why he says, don't do that. It's not because he wants to be a big meanie and say, here's the rules, you got to follow them. He's saying, this is what's best for you. You want joy? Do what he says. And you'll have it because his joy is your strength. And in the end, you'll be one that says, or hears, excuse me, you'll hear, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12, we hear, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Wait a minute. Let me just pause there for one moment. The joy that was set before him? What joy? The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord was set before Christ. He saw that his sacrifice was going to bring souls to the Father. And so what did he do? For that joy that he had over those souls being saved, he went to the cross. He endured the cross. And despising the shame as he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, he saw the result, the fruit, if you will, of his sacrifice. By remaining true to Christ, we have his assurance of bearing fruit. Do you want assurance? Remain true. You want to bear fruit for Christ? Do you want to bear fruit for your Creator? Do you want to see souls saved? Remain in Christ. Abide in Christ. If you love me, he said, you keep my commandments. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Abiding in him is a simple matter of remaining true to his teaching by keeping his commandments. It's easy. Oh, I know it's easy, like to say it's easy, but the whole message is easy. The actual doing of it is a matter of submitting your will, surrendering your ideas, what you want to him, allowing him to have his way with you. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That's what John tells us in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 3. But why? Why keep the commandments? Well, I already said why. Jesus said why. That his joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So that your joy will be full. And when that clicked for me, during a situation that happened this past week, I thought, there's no better reason to just trust him, to remain in his will. Keeping his commandments keeps you in his love, and that enables you to bear fruit to the glory of God. But what is that joy? The root word is chara, C-H-A-R-A, chara. It means calm, inner delight. Calm, inner delight. When the whole world is hectic, when we're looking at the signs of the times, remember we had the series of messages on the signs of the times. We're going to see all these things happening, and we're seeing them happen. We're seeing the signs of the times. We're seeing it increasing in intensity and in frequency. We're seeing that the world is wrapping up according to God's timeline, as God said it would. It's happening the way His Word proclaims that it's going to. And as we're seeing that, we might have a tendency to become afraid. We might have a tendency to get hectic and scared. We might have a tendency to get all worked up about it. Because we care. We don't want to see people suffer. We don't want people to end up in hell. And more than that, we don't want God to miss one of those souls that He bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, that's the goal. Our role as followers of Christ is to collect those souls that He bought and paid for. He told us to go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything that I've taught. And teaching them what He taught means to teach them to keep those commandments so that their joy may be full. You know, last week I started to tell you I faced some uncertainties about repairs that needed to be done at our former home. I got a call a few weeks ago that a water line had broken, and it was a full blast, half-inch line blowing water behind the wall. It was inaccessible. And I knew where that pipe was, but I did not have the ability to explain to the handyman what it was. I have a handyman who lives across the street. I give him a place to park on our property off the street, and in turn for that, he freely helps us, and I praise God for that all the time. He freely takes care of things that need to be done, unless it's too major and I've got to buy something or whatever. So I could not explain to him how that where that water line was, and so what he did was he opened up the wall in the bathroom. Okay? He opened up a spot about so wide, ceiling to floor, to find that pipe, and then he found out there was a cap on the end of a pipe that used to go outside. We cut the pipe off and we capped it 20 or 25 years ago. He said the cap blew off. So now I don't understand how a cap can blow off after being soldered for 20 or 25 years. I don't know. I can't tell you. I cannot explain that. I couldn't explain it to him. But it did. And so it had poured all this water behind the wall, wet the drywall, and it was all soggy. And he said it had to go anyway, John. So that kind of unnerved me because I wasn't able to get there. And so I called the tenant and I said, I'm sorry, I can't get there right away, but John fixed the line. I'm sorry you got this hole in your downstairs bathroom, but we'll get to it as soon as we possibly can. I made some phone calls. I asked others, can somebody get down there to fix this for this lady? It's a total of about a sheet of drywall. Nobody could do it. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll just have to get down there and do it. Well, then I get a call as I'm going down the road. Tenant called me. She said, the gas company's changing the lines. She said, they're putting a new main line in. They're going to put a new line to your house. But they don't like where the meter is. It can't be under a window, they said. They have to move it to the side. So they're not just going to reconnect another line to our meter. They're going to move the meter. And that means they're moving pipes. And when you move gas pipes, what happens? Sometimes they leak. So they come in the house after they get this all done and they check the lines and they find that the furnace has a leak. In fact, they said there were two leaks in the furnace, one at the regulator and one at a valve. And I'll tell you, just for a moment, folks, I could not believe that this situation was happening. But then I said, okay, well, the gas is off to the furnace, so we don't have to worry about that right now. We'll have to find a new regulator or a new valve and whatever it needs, and we'll get that done. So we couldn't find one. And then in the meantime, the gas company contractor dug up the water line and broke the water line to the house. Okay, now I'm starting to think, all right, Lord, you got my attention. What's going on here? All right? And this anxiety welled up inside. It was like this, like my body released some sort of chemicals, and then all of a sudden I was in fight or flight mode. Like, what am I going to do? In the old days, that's the street. It comes to you that way. You know, you have to protect yourself. It's just the way it is. And I said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to rely on God. And I went there and I prayed. And as I was going down the road, the Lord laid that little song that I just sang to the children. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And as I sang it, that calm peace came over me. And I said, okay, Lord, whatever it takes. We'll do whatever it takes. I have a credit card that I could use if we need to buy things. I can use that card and we can work it out. So I got there and we took the covers, big box and around the boiler, you know, and all the stuff is in this box. We took the box. The Lord showed me on the way down. He impressed upon my mind how to do this. Take the box apart, then look at the stuff and figure it out and all this. And so I did. And as I was working on it with this guy, I realized we made phone call after phone call after phone call. And this particular part, this 60-year-old part, was not to be found at all. And the Lord impressed upon me to tighten the screws that were on the top of that regulator. There's two pieces. Like, it looks like a like one of those old flying saucers out of the sci-fi movies. That's what it looked like. It was about so big. And there's two pieces sandwiched together, and there's a rubber gasket in there, and there were screws, six screws across the top. And I started turning the screws, and they were turning. And I said, could it be that simple? And I turned all those screws and tightened them up. And then the handyman says, well, now we'll have to call the gas company and tell them that we have to have it checked for a leak. And then that anxiety hit me again. Could you call the gas company? If they red tag it, now you've got a world of hurt, because now you've got to hire a plumber to come in and do something with it. Us tightening a few screws is one thing, but if the gas company puts a red tag on your boiler, buddy, you got to hire somebody who's qualified to fix it. But he called the gas company, and the gas company guy came in with his high-tech device with this long thing on it, and he went around there, and he's checking everything. He said, where did they say that leak was? And he said, under there. He checked under there, and he checked over there, and he checked up there. And I said, well, you might as well just check over there, too, because it looks like that pipe might have got broken whenever they were doing the thing on the outside. He checked all that, and he said, no, I'm not finding anything. He said, I could turn it up to high sensitivity. I said, do that. Because I don't want this boiler to be put on unless I'm certain, because I can't have it in the back of my mind that something's wrong. I've got to have that cleared up, because otherwise it's going to cause me anxiety. Even if I trust the Lord that it's okay, I don't trust the gas guy, okay? So he puts it on super high sensitivity, goes around, he says, oh yeah, I found a molecule of gas over here. It's all fixed. And I relied on God, not on me. I didn't rely on me. My first thing is, I've got to do something. And I also got that wall fixed. It's not completed. And there was an issue with the electric, because when they broke the water line, then they replaced the metal water line with a plastic water line, and then we no longer had a good earth ground. So the lights were flickering. The stove was shutting off. It was like one thing after another. So we got a couple of earth ground rods and a copper line and ran it, and it's good to go. But I had joy. I had that calm inner delight because I trusted in God. Keeping His commandments keeps you in His love. He says, trust Him. Be not afraid. He said, trust Him. He had everything under control. And He has everything under control in all of our lives when we're connected to Him. When we are tapped into the vine, we're the branches. We simply do what the vine dictates for us to do. The vine is what provides the spiritual strength. And as we look forward to the coming of the Lord, filled with His Spirit, we're able to contend for the faith. Remember that? Remember the scripture that tells us to contend for the faith? We need to be those who will stand up for the faith. In Colossians chapter 3, we hear, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ in God. That's pretty amazing. You died. You're no longer who you once were. You have been dead and born again. Let's look at another scripture. Psalm 27, page 377 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 27. We read the first 14 verses there. Psalm 27. Again, that's page 377 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 27. And I want us to hear, this is our Lord speaking through His servant David. And David says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, as we're approaching these days that are spoken of in the coming of the Lord, we have to remember when the wicked come against us to eat up our flesh, our enemies and our foes, they will stumble and fall. As David said, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Where's the temple today? It's us, right? We are the temple, individually and collectively. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of, what? Say the word. Joy. I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. So even if the very closest people to us forsake us, Almighty God is there. If, in fact, we are connected to Him through that vine of Christ, and we can have joy, and we can offer that sacrifice of joy to Almighty God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. No matter what the world throws at you, no matter how it comes, boom, 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 over and over, more and more and more. And sometimes it gets to where it's so overwhelming, you want to pull out your hair maybe. Sorry, Bob. We have to rely on God. And He'll give us that calm, inner delight. Jesus told His followers obedience would produce another benefit to them also. Do you remember what He said? In two places in that first text that we read from John chapter 15, He said, in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, now listen, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If we abide in Him and He abides in us, if we are connected to the vine, we can have that great joy, and all we need to do is ask. We can ask anything in His will, and He will supply all of our needs through His riches in His glory. And then hear what he says in verse 16 of John chapter 15. You didn't choose me, I chose you. He's talking to his disciples there. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And this applies to all of us. And that your fruit should remain, that it wouldn't wither and die, that it would be strong. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. That's the testimony of two witnesses in one passage of Scripture. He says absolutely, without any reservation, what you ask for, he will supply. So you can trust him. Remain connected to him. And when I prayed about those uncertainties related to our former home, all that stuff that was happening, boom, 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 all went right in a row. I mean, within 2 weeks, we had all this stuff happen. It felt like an avalanche. And I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to get this all done? It's all those uncertainties because I don't know. I'm not there. I can't tell what needs to be done. And it starts to weigh on me, and I finally just let that go. So, God, it's on you. Because you say you'll take care of me, and I know you will, and he did. He directed me. He showed me how to proceed on taking care of everything. And he'll do the same for you. With every situation, no matter what it is, when you're holding on to two ends and it seems like you just can't get them close enough to meet, he'll fill in those empty spaces. He'll find a way. He'll make it happen. Answered prayers add to the joy that he instills. And he tells us that he will answer our prayers if we abide in him. If we abide in him, he hears our prayers and he answers them. It's amazing. When you see God working like that, and I could tell you story after story after story about how God takes care of us. Sometimes he uses people to take care of us. Sometimes he uses circumstances to take care of us. Sometimes he uses other situations to take care of us. Answered prayer adds to that joy that he instills in believers, and it builds confidence in our ability to know that we are connected to the vine. We're connected. When he hears us, we know praises go up, blessings come down. If we're in the vine, he takes care of us. And we can have the joy that comes with all of that. And his joy comes over you like a wave of peace and satisfaction and comfort, calm, delight. Sometimes the answers don't come as we plan or hope, though. But as long as we rely on him, we'll be taken care of. Obedient followers learn to joyfully accept his will in everything. Our prayer, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. That's our prayer as the church. It's being answered. Even as we observe the signs of his coming, our prayer is being answered. The true church of Christ is called the bride, and Christ is called the bridegroom. He's coming for his bride. He's coming for his bride. But he warns us to be awake. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins? They were all asleep. But when they heard the bridegroom's coming, awake, awake, the bridegroom's coming. 5 of them had enough oil, 5 of them didn't. 5 were ready, 5 weren't. We're the true church of Christ. If in fact we're connected to him, if we're in the vine, we are the bride. Not just us, all over the world, there are people that follow Christ. It's written in John chapter 16, therefore, you now have sorrow. This is Jesus talking to his disciples again. He says, but I will see you again, and we can rely on that same promise. We will see him. Just as Job said, I know in my flesh, I will see my Redeemer, for my Redeemer lives. He's not dead. He's alive. And he's on his way back. The day of the Lord is upon us, and we must be watchful and remember to keep our eyes heavenward, not earthward. He says, your heart will rejoice. He says, your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, he says, you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. God wants us to have joy. He wants us to have that calm, inner delight. Had other circumstances. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I didn't. Two massive situations. Boom, 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 boom with the house. Boom, 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 boom with other things. This one, I was able to give it all to God and I figured it all out and everything was good. This one, I failed. Because I relied on me and God showed me my weakness. He showed me my weakness in that. And I need to rely on Him. Because it's not about me. It's all about Him getting glory out of me. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 8, it's written that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I was going to open to that passage, but I think most of you probably know it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord tells Nehemiah, go, eat the fat, drink the sweet juice, you know, of the grape, the wine. He said, go, enjoy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you want strength? Rely on Him. Do you want strength? Stay in Him. Do you want strength? Know where it comes from. Abide in the vine. As I wrap this up, I want to give you some things to hold on to. First, obedience to Christ brings joy. He said so. The Holy Spirit brings the joy of the Lord to bear in believers' lives. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Honest obedience results in that calm and inner delight in your life. We're to serve the Lord our God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. We have no lack, folks. We have abundance in our lives. Even when things are like we're not pulling the ends together, we still have abundance. There's none of us that are without clothes. There's none of us that haven't eaten in the last week. There's none of us that have no place to lay our heads. Jesus had no place to lay His. We're to serve the Lord our God with joy and gladness of heart. Let's not walk around grumpy. I've been grumpy. I know I have. My wife will tell you I've been grumpy. Even this morning, I was grumpy. This isn't done, and that isn't done, and this needs to be done, and that needs to be done, and this has to happen, and that has to happen. Ugh. And I came in here, and I prayed. I got down on my face before the Lord, and I said, God, I am sorry. Take me and use me. I wouldn't be able to bring a message today in the state of mind that I was in this morning. And God said, it is well. Calm, inner delight came over me again. Now that's where I want to stay. I missed the mark. And sometimes you will too. But remember, you can always go back. You can always remain attached to the vine. You can keep Christ as your source of sustenance. The Holy Spirit brings joy. Secondly, I want you to realize that His joy strengthens us against everything, including disbelief, including fear, even deceit. You know, the Scripture tells us in the last days there's going to come false preachers, false teachers, false workers, evil workers. He'll keep you from that. It's written in Romans chapter 15, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud Him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse. He's speaking of Christ. And He who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in Him the Gentiles shall hope. Speaking of the Messiah. That's where we have our hope. It's not in this earthly realm. It's nothing in this world. We can't place our hope in anything but Christ. And He says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy. All joy. That calm inner delight and peace in believing that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by our power. Not by our own power. Not by anything that we can muster up for ourselves. It's by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he gives us, in that one little passage, he gives us an instruction. Praise the Lord. Laud him. And he gives us promises. He says he'll rise over and rise to reign over the Gentiles, and the Gentiles shall have hope. And then he says, here's the prayer. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It's amazing. When you break it down, you see God has your best interest at heart. He wants what's best for you. And he says, all you have to do is just remain in the vine. And how did Jesus say to remain in the vine? He says, obey his commandments. Follow what he says. Jesus told his disciples, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and when they revile you, and when they cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. People were beating you up for Jesus. Jump up and down. Praise the Lord. And he said, why? Because that's what they did to the prophets. You're in good company. You can have joy no matter what happens in the world. And sometimes Christians have been mistaught that somehow everything's going to go well for them whenever they become a follower of Jesus. But that's not the way it works out, because the devil comes down on you. He doesn't want to lose that soul that he had in the grips of hell. But you can know, whenever the enemy comes against you, that you have Christ, and he is, in fact, your joy, your source of joy, your sustenance. Believers are to remain watchful for the day of the Lord, because it is fast approaching. And it's written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. And in the end, as I said before, you'll hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the eternal strength of God, forever protected. And I'll say, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you have strength in Christ. Just trust him. That's the guy that sometimes does and sometimes doesn't, telling you. You got to trust him, because that's where your strength comes from. No matter how it looks, no matter what happens, when Chris and I left my job, we went from being able to pay the bills to not being able to pay the bills. When we were serving in another church, and God said, it's all okay. And he made it okay. He made it work. And all of that led me here, right now, today. If I hadn't been obedient then, I don't know where I'd be now. My guess? I'd be in a box. But God wasn't going to give me any more chances. He made that clear to me. I had to obey him. I had to follow where he was leading. And I don't know what he has for you, but I have to tell you, do what he says. Follow where he leads. And enjoy that process. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength too. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can have joy. We know that your joy strengthens us against disbelief and deceit and fear. Lord God, help us to praise you. Help us to glorify you. Help us, Lord. Let us remember always that we have hope. That hope that comes from you, and the joy and peace in believing. And help us to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. All right. Now, let's open our hymnals to number 151. 151.
Kayla, we're gonna light scissors with us next Sunday.